Advantage Acura of Naperville is your connection to your new Acura. Drive home in one you'll love in less than 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. And every new Acura comes with the Advantage Plus program. Come see them in Naperville or visit AdvantageAcura.com. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to Peggy and Dion on 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000.
Not my favorite, but it's okay. Everybody knows it. Welcome back to Peggy and Dion. We always have a comment
really?
On the side. That's not my favorite song.
I prefer the Taylor Swift version.
Personally.
Really? Sabrina Carpenter and Chappell Roan on her Christmas special, Sabrina Carpenter's Christmas special on Netflix, did a cover of this song that is
really
phenomenal.
Okay, well, I'll check
it's
that out.
It's excellent.
I'll
excellent.
Check that out.
The whole special was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Kid appropriate?
No.
Okay. Didn't think so. All right, welcome back to Peggy and Dion. Shay in for Peggy. It's our second hour here on Saturday afternoon. Peggy and Dion brought to you each and every week by Advantage Acura of Naperville. Drive home in your new Acura in less than 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. Every new Acura comes with the Advantage Plus program. Visit them in Naperville or visit AdvantageAcura.com. We are also brought to you by Zazu Salons, the premier luxury salons throughout Chicagoland. For locations and more information, or to purchase a gift card, visit ZazuSalons.com. Shay, I asked you this question in the break. I'm going to ask you now on the air. Do you think the Bears win another game this season? You don't at all?
No.
That will be 11 straight losses.
Yeah. What would Poles' record be if they lost out 14-39? Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It'd be 14-37?
Something like that. Bad. The record would be bad.
Yes. In any way that it's bad. It's
I mean,
worse
the whole
than...
I got to tell you, his track record's not very good. When you think
it's
about
not, and I didn't feel this. I always felt like if they fired Eberflus, when they fired Eberflus, that Poles would get another year, and it would be he would get to hire his coach, because I was under the impression that Eberflus was not his guy, and I clearly was wrong.
My fear is if you bring in a new GM for look, everybody knows how good Caleb is, but you bring in a new GM for, again, a quarterback that they didn't draft, to hire a head coach for a quarterback they didn't choose, you're doing the same thing. And this only ends with either Ryan Poles gets an extension and a full-time second head coach that he's married to, or you fire Ryan Poles at the end of this season. And no matter what, I think you're kind of in a bad situation, and you just have to hope Caleb can overcome it. I don't think that they'll win another game. How could I possibly sit here today and say, yes, they're going to win a game?
I mean, it's unbelievable the things that they talk about. A brutal schedule. The things that they talk about, like it's about execution and this and it. But it's also about want to. And I didn't see that last week against the 49ers. We didn't see this like grand desire to get this uptick from the interim head coach, and we're going to go out there and prove people wrong. I didn't see any of that.
I don't think that Monday will be as non-competitive as last week was.
I don't think so either. I mean, it can't be.
I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think it will be totally non-competitive. They're going to get blown off the field. Okay. I think there will be some pride that they play with. Typically, that's what you see in the NFL. Even with teams that let go of the rope and give up, you don't see teams get blown out twice in a row very often. It just doesn't happen.
Let's hope not. I do think I am interested to see Caleb play a team a second time. This is the first time that he's gotten that opportunity, and I want to see how he makes adjustments and even find out after the fact maybe how he rewatched what was successful against them the first time in that second half and then is able to execute it a different way on Monday.
So there's a little bit of conversation there too, because Flores, I think a lot of people have started to view him specifically and the way he coordinates a defense as kind of a dividing line between if you are a quarterback that coaches respect and don't respect. You can tell.
Okay.
When he's running his defense against a quarterback he doesn't respect, you can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran it in a way where you could tell he thought Caleb could beat him in certain spots, and Caleb did.
Mm-hmm.
I think seeing it a second time, I'm actually more interested to see how Brian Flores adjusts to it and if he has more success against Caleb Williams than he did the first matchup.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So much has changed around Caleb. Like, it was the second game for Thomas Brown to call plays the first time they played Minnesota, right? And then they had another slow start, which, gosh, can we get rid of those? Like, can we have them score in the first quarter or anything? I mean,
I hope. I'm done saying sure
doing?
It'll change.
What are we doing? Just, I mean, like, they've never had a bad practice. So what's happening?
I know. They suck. I don't know how I'm supposed to answer the question. They suck. They're bad.
Not good.
They're just terrible.
They're just not good.
We were talking about it in San Francisco where we're making fun of Carmen because I think he's like 1-5 on the Bears road trips now. And we're calling him a mush. And he just goes, guys, I'm not a mush. The reality is this team sucks.
I know.
They're just bad. And that's kind of where we're at. So you ask me, are they going to win another game? No, I don't think so. Maybe they'll look competitive. And honestly, if you made me pick one that they could win, it would be Detroit because it's here. It's cold and it's Goff outdoors. Mm-hmm. But the only bad weather game Detroit's played this year, they just relied on the run and they handled the Packers.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's not like they played great in that game, though. They scored, I think, 24 points, 7 of them on a pick 6. That would be the one I would look at. As if you're going to win one, it's that game.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like it's hard for a team to compartmentalize all the dysfunction that's gone on around them as much as they claim that they are. And I've realized now, like understanding some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, that the more they've tried to talk things into reality, the more you realize is missing. You know what I mean? Like the more they've had to say, well, we are all united and we're all pulling in the same direction. And the more you have to say that, you know, that's not what's really happening.
Yeah.
And that's so disappointing because I do think they have more talent than their record looks like. And they felt like they could compete with anybody. They felt like those games against the first few games of the division. Yeah, they were losing in devastating fashion, but they were like, oh, we're competing. Well, last week didn't look like that. So what now? So and how do we feel about the way this franchise looks to potential head coaching candidates?
What do you mean?
Well, like you see this article showing that we're wondering who's exactly in charge. Like what are coaching candidates asking them? What are their most important questions that they're asking?
I think number one, you want to see a professional operation in terms of how they're treating head coaching candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cowboys talks about flying Dan Quinn back row middle seat on a commercial flight to interview him. You can't do that.
Right.
So the impression starts before the coach even gets in the building. And then you have to
Doesn't it sort of start now?
I think there has to be an allegiance between the general manager and the head coach. Mm-hmm. And there has to be like a knowledge that you will bring in players who work for the head coach's scheme. And what I say when I think about mostly in terms of how Ryan Poles has built this roster, we talk about there being a ton of talent. Is there? Think about all the money on this roster that is flat out wasted. DeAndre Swift is wasted money. Tremaine Edmonds is wasted money.
Yeah.
Montez Sweat right now is looking more and more and more and more like wasted money. What's he got, 12 quarterback hits?
Maybe.
What are we talking about, dude?
I know, but he's not been healthy. Can we give him any of that or no?
Nobody's healthy. It's the
NFL. I know.
You think TJ Watt's playing at 100% every week?
No.
And it's not, I never expected Montez Sweat to be TJ Watt. I expected him to be Montez Sweat.
Yeah,
right now, he's not even that.
Yeah, he's not even that right now. Agreed.
Even a reasonable expectation of who Montez Sweat is as a player, he's not living up to.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, we spent so much time talking about this defense, top five, they're elite. No, they're not.
Cole Kmet, wasted money.
You think that's wasted money?
Come on. You're dropping two-point conversions.
I love that's true.
You're dropping easy balls that come your way.
So then what is the disconnect?
Not even involved in the offense half the time.
He's not involved in the offense half the time, which I don't understand at
Nate
all.
Nate Davis was wasted money.
Wasted money.
And it's dead money now because you cut him.
Yep.
And then you think about the wasted draft picks, like Jaquan Brisker, but Velus Jones.
Velus Jones, yeah. I mean, Karan Amagaji was not healthy when they drafted him.
And he looked lost in his opportunities this season.
Mm-hmm.
Can we at some point, like Brisker, if he can play football, looks like a good player. Kyler Gordon, I think, is a really good player.
Really good player. Yeah.
Can we find a couple hits outside of those two and Caleb Williams?
I mean, is that it? That's all that's on his resume that's good?
Javon Dexter's fine. Torrey Taylor.
Hey, listen, they had more punts than yards in the first half. Last week.
They have
Thank
more
God they had Torrey Taylor.
I got to say, they could have more punts than yards
it's
with
comical.
Me.
I could have punted the ball. Same. I could have, too. It's comical.
What did they have, 2 yards in the first half? Zach Pickens doesn't exist. I don't know who that is.
I know. I don't either. What round was he drafted in?
Second or third? Maybe fourth.
I think it's the fourth, right?
Dexter was the second round
Dexter
pick.
Dexter was second. Pickens was third.
And Rome looks good.
Rome does look great.
Mm-hmm. But again, that's
That wasn't the need at the moment. I'm so glad they got Rome because he's a great guy. That's wonderful.
He's also a good player.
He's a very good player. That his ability to get his feet in bounds is like my favorite thing. But that's not what they needed in that moment.
Well, and I'm not going to bitch too much about not getting a tackle there because all the tackles they could have taken stink. Olufoshanu's not having a great year. Like all the guys that got taken behind him are not that good. Just there's so many misses in his draft.
There's so many. If you have not, as a Bears fan, taken time to read the article that was in the Tribune yesterday by Dan Weider, you should. It's very telling. I have things highlighted. I'm like keeping the printed version because I feel like it's something we're going to go back to as they go into this next hiring phase and figuring out like how much Kevin Warren is really in charge and what ends up happening with Ryan Poles. Like, I'm just interested to see how this all plays out and the dynamics of what's going on there, because I have not felt that disconnect between Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles until that press conference after they fired Eberflus and until we read some of the details of what's going on. I just feel like there's a massive disconnect in that building. It's not great. It's not great. It's not good. And for a founding franchise, it's not good.
No, it's terrible.
It's terrible, yeah. And they should be embarrassed about it. And you want them to be embarrassed about it. I don't know if they are.
I think they have to be at this point. And I will say there is at least a little bit of a silver lining, if it's true. Brad Biggs, I think, mentioned the way he framed it, I didn't love. Kevin Warren will have the green light to spend what it takes to get a head coach. It's a good sign that you will spend what it takes to get a head coach, if it's true.
Yeah.
I don't love that it was framed as Kevin Warren will have the green light, because that is not who I want making the decision.
No, I don't want him either making that decision.
Whether it's Ryan Poles or a GM that Kevin Warren hires, I want a football person making the decision on head coach.
Yes. But do you want it to be Ryan Poles?
What I want is irrelevant. It's what they're going to do. And I have a feeling it'll be Poles. I'd be surprised
if they let him go, too. But I do feel like there's some explaining to do that needs to be done.
It's a lot more misses than hits with him.
Mm-hmm.
In every aspect.
With coaches, too.
Claypool was a disaster.
Yeah, poor choice.
Now, maybe he wasn't allowed to fire Eberflus, which then you excuse
him. But he's the one who, emphatically backed him to start this season, which was the opportunity to let him go.
Even if you believe he wasn't allowed to make that firing, you still have to hold him accountable for Nate Davis, which that gets even worse when you see some of the reporting lately that coaches in the building talk to Ryan Poles about Nate Davis being a loaf and a liability and not to make that signing, including a coach who had spent 4 years with him in Tennessee, and Ryan Poles still went out and got him.
I know. It's that emotional connection he somehow gets with them. Why did we need Ryan Bates so bad? Help me understand.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Coleman Shelton, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Especially when Tyler Biadasz was available and he's having a good year at center in Washington.
Help me understand, Shay.
I can't help you. I don't understand. Nothing they do makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I wish I could help you understand, but it's nonsense. It's Bush League football.
Yeah, it's not competing at the highest level. That is for sure. Okay, we need to take a quick timeout. We are going to play another trivia moment. We are going to give away another gift card at 12:30-ish. I say that because we keep sliding these break times. So 12:30-ish. Stick around. We'll play that, and then we'll continue here on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Peggy and Dion on 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000.
The synthesizer that really gets me in the Christmas spirit. I don't know about you, Shay. Welcome back to Peg and Dion here on ESPN. Right. It's a synthesizer. Like, it's just makes everybody happy.
This is a good song, too.
This is a good song.
You are
song.
Very picky about holiday music.
Well,
my
like
God.
The classics.
But I recommended Nat King Cole, and you looked at me like I was recommending gangster rap.
I would not be opposed to gangster rap.
Neither would I.
We should do that sometime. That would be fun. Have a little hip-hop rejoin.
But you're like, I'm like, how about a little Nat King Cole jacket?
We're in this.
We want to lift people's spirits and be upbeat. Nat King Cole does lift spirits.
It's not bad. You're right. Okay.
And then I got this song is so upbeat
this
and
is very
so
upbeat.
Uplifting.
I feel like
and
you should be skipping around the building.
Synthesizer in my holiday music.
I don't hate the synthesizer. It's fine. It's not my favorite.
Unreal.
But
you are
fine.
A picky holiday music person.
I am.
I'm learning today.
Oh, there's a good one.
This is the good stuff.
This is really good, yeah. I like Sinatra Christmas. Love it.
This is the good stuff.
You gonna sing?
No, I'm not gonna sing.
I would not
disrespect this song by singing on it.
Neither would I. As I was saying, welcome back to Peggy and Dion here on
ESPN. Have you ever roasted chestnuts over an open fire?
No, I don't even know what that would entail.
I don't know if I've ever had a chestnut.
I don't think I have.
I have not either. What did people do that?
It's a song.
I
assume
it's a song,
at some point it happened.
Was that part of the Christmas season to roast? Does anyone listening has ever roasted chestnuts? Is that part of your holiday traditions? And I'm just missing it.
This says in Italy, it is a beloved holiday tradition. Chestnuts are often roasted by street vendors over a wood-burning roaster, giving them a smoky flavor. Carmen may roast chestnuts for the holidays.
He might. He might. With his black apron.
And his black gloves.
His black gloves.
Carmen's a bleep hole. That is, by the way, just in the
is that your favorite
holiday
one?
Parody songs, 100%. If I had a vote on what should win, it would be Carmen's a bleep hole. I laugh every time I hear that line.
It is very inside jokey, which is fun.
It's
not
so
my
good.
Favorite.
It's
I like
so
the Eberflus one, where the guy is Eberflus talking about the phone and how he wants to tell Cap
too,
off.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's funny.
The line
he
delivery
really sticks
on
that landing.
Tell
yeah,
Cap
good.
To bleep himself is amazing.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really good. If you missed any of the holiday parody songs, they will be playing them throughout the week as we have our five finalists. And the holiday show is next Friday at, hold on, Dave and Buster's in Schaumburg. Correct. What time does it start? Yeah, nobody knows. Just show up.
2:30, I imagine, when the show starts.
Probably, yeah. 2:30 to 6:30. It'll be a great time. So make sure that you pay attention for that. Okay, so we were talking earlier about fantasy football. We mentioned fantasy football, and you and Jack are in the same league. Is this correct?
We're in a dynasty league together.
Okay.
We both made the playoffs. And
good
Jack
for you,
is,
guys.
Well, I'm the number one overall seed.
And, of course you are.
Jack is a little irritated because he thinks I'm behaving bush league. I don't think I did anything wrong.
What did he do, Jack?
He's jinxing me on purpose.
No, I'm not.
And it makes me upset.
That's
I'm superstitious,
I'm
and it's the first round of the playoffs, and Shay is texting me already, like, congratulations texts about going to the championship.
Yeah.
I have to win two more games first.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not jinxing you. It's fantasy football. I have absolutely zero control over the outcome of fantasy football.
You think that. You don't know that for sure.
No, I'm pretty positive. I have zero control over the outcome of fantasy football.
You believe it's all luck?
Not all
luck. You're just guessing, you're just drawing it, picking at straws and like hoping for the best?
It is mostly luck. It is not all luck. And I think
explains why you're the one seed.
In a dynasty league, I think there's a little more foresight and skill involved. But the redraft, like the yearly fantasy football where you get a whole new team every year, come on. You could draft five guys who die by week 8 and you had zero control over it.
That is true. I was very unceremoniously eliminated from postseason contention in our league that we have through Advantage Acura of Naperville. And the winner of our league drives away in a new Acura.
Ooh.
So I know it's pretty impressive. I did not make the postseason. The Dionsters of the Midway have bowed out. And that's okay.
Did
that's
Peggy
okay.
make it?
I don't know. We're in separate like divisions, so I'm not sure.
Did you draft Christian McCaffrey?
I did not.
Point made, though. That's where fantasy football is.
A good fantasy football owner, a great fantasy football owner, would have had the backup to Christian McCaffrey on their roster.
Had to have.
Jordan Mason. Yeah, you would have had to win the race to claim him because I don't think anybody was drafting him.
Oh, my goodness. Last week I tried to claim Isaac Guerrero or whatever, yeah. And I missed out on that.
See? That's luck. It's luck whether or not you actually achieve the waiver claim. And I'm sorry, nobody was wrong drafting Christian McCaffrey number one overall.
No, they were not wrong, but you couldn't know that he was not going to play.
Luck. You're sitting in front of a slot machine.
I guess, but Jeff Mellor every year is like winning all of his leagues.
There is a big portion of skill in there.
There is.
I'm not saying it's 100% luck, but it is mostly luck. I typically do pretty well, but I'm also in leagues where I think I know more football than most of the people I'm in a league with.
Well, so that may be true. Oh, I would love to think that too, but I'm not in the postseason. Our listeners are. Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
More power to you. Have fun.
One of them is going to win an Acura.
One of them is going to win an Acura.
That's pretty cool.
We had that the pictures of that sweet woman who won last year. She was all smiles, of course. It's like amazing. What an amazing giveaway.
Or even more fantasy football luck. How about when you are like the second highest scoring team in your league, but just by benefit of schedule mismatch, you don't make the playoffs? Luck.
Yeah, but that's in every sport.
Yes,
it is. But you're sitting at a slot machine. That's luck.
Jack is right. There is an amount of skill involved because when you don't have that player that is always going to get you a certain amount of points, you have to maneuver around the rest of the league and try to find the players that are going to contribute in the weeks when maybe they're playing a different, like a team that this is the only week they're worth putting in your lineup. And then the rest of the time, might as well be on IR. There is some skill to that. I think about it. I want to feel like I get mad that I'm not in the postseason because, gosh, like this is my job. I should know. I don't know.
No, but see, don't feel bad because of what I'm selling. There is a luck element to this that I think is greater than 50%.
Okay.
I'll give you 25 at most.
But the problem with you is like you're some hardo about fantasy football. You want to believe that you're in the top 0.1% of fantasy football. So of course you're going to discount the luck factor because it makes your skill that much greater. But you've been the beneficiary of some luck, I'm sure, over the years.
I'm not going to admit that, no.
See? It's actually a you problem. You're blaming me for being Bush League because you're all superstitious.
Enough with the jinxing already.
It's not jinxing.
Jack, trust your gut. Mellor was telling me yesterday during our fantasy segment that we do on Overtime on ABC 7. He was saying at this point in the season, you have to be decisive in the decisions that you're making. You have to be very decisive and committed. So don't just trust it, Jack.
Yeah.
You're in charge. It's your team. You know what you're doing.
I am in charge.
You don't have to second guess any GMs around you. You got it.
And I wasn't jinxing. We are on opposite sides of the bracket.
There you go.
We are the two highest scoring teams. And I'll see you in the chip. I was being nice. I was showing respect and appropriate fear. And you're like, Bush
fear.
League Shay, he's trying to jinx me.
Appropriate fear.
You think so little of me.
Oh, my gosh.
Like I'm actually scared of you. My team My team is loaded. If I don't win this championship, I am a total bum.
Who is your quarterback?
I have two quarterbacks.
Okay, of course.
It's a dynasty super flex.
So how long have you been has this been your team?
This is the first year, and I was very aggressive in building a juggernaut.
Okay, so dynasty means you carry this team into next year.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and there's like rookie drafts, so you can trade draft picks. And I was extremely aggressive trading both of my next two first-round picks, because now I was able to get Brock Purdy and Derrick Henry via trade.
Wow.
And add them to a team with CeeDee Lamb and Malik Neighbors and Devon Achane and James Conner and Jordan Love and George Kittle.
Yeah, your team's so great. We get it.
If I don't win this title, I am a huge bum.
Who are you starting this week, Jordan Love?
I'm on a bye week.
Oh, you're on a... This late?
It's the playoffs. Yeah.
Wow. Sorry. Keep up, Dion. Keep up.
But, yeah, I can start both Brock Purdy and Jordan Love every week.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, we all can start two quarterbacks.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Jordan Love's one of my quarterbacks, too. And then I've, like, the compliments around him have been different. Like, I've gotten different quarterbacks all the time. Just because that's what Jeff Mellor tells me to do. I'm not lying. Like, every week he's like, let me look at your roster. I mean, I don't know what I would do. And I still didn't make the playoffs.
Well, then it goes to show maybe Mellor's not all that great at this, huh?
He is. Wow. He is. I've like won by 0.08, and then I've also lost by that. Like they right
but
there.
But again, luck.
I don't think luck.
I'm in another league where, Jack, you got to admit the luck factor here. There was a week where I won and would have lost to every other team in the league. And the following week, I lost and would have beaten every other team in the league. That's luck.
Sometimes Georgia plays Alabama and they would have beaten every other team, but they played Alabama that week, so they lost. It happens. It's what happens in every game in every sport.
Yeah. Okay, so how many weeks is the postseason, guys? Through the end of the season, right?
3 more weeks.
We will revisit this.
Oh, we will.
We will. If Jack
I'll have a ring on my finger, championship ring. I'll buy it myself off Amazon.
It's going to be me and you and the chip.
Oh, there you go. Well, that would be exciting. I would love to see that.
You just jinxed us both. Now neither of us
it's
are
either
there.
You and I or myself and Chardog.
Look at this That's confidence it. From this guy.
Well,
dude, I'm just, if my team as assembled does not make it, something terrible happened.
Okay, we have to do our next trivia. We're giving away a $200 Zazu Salons gift card. So we're going to ask our trivia question after the break. If you would like the chance to answer our question and win this gift card and have a incredible gift to give to someone or yourself, if that's how you're feeling, give us a call at 312-332-3776. After we get back from this break, we will play our trivia game. It is Bears holiday related trivia with a $200 Zazu Salon gift card on the line. So stick around. You're listening to Peggy and Dion.
You're listening to Peggy and Dion on Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000.
Advantage Acura of Naperville is your connection to your new Acura. Drive home in one you'll love in less than 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. And every new Acura comes with the Advantage Plus program. Come see them in Naperville or visit AdvantageAcura.com. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
Okay, we're all in.
Now back to Peggy and Dion.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, this is a really, really good tune. Okay, welcome back to Peggy and Dion, where we are about to play our trivia contest again. If you would like to get involved, give us a call at 312-332-3776. We have another trivia question that we are going to ask right now. Jack is manning the phones as they come in, so stick around. Here is our question. Oh, and I need to make it clear what you're winning. You're winning a $200 Zazu Salons gift card. Now, if you do not win this holiday, you can still give that special someone a gift of beauty and relaxation with Zazu Salons and White Buffalo gift cards. And you'll get an extra 20% for every $100 you spend. So if you spend $100, you'll get a $120 gift card or value gift card. So make sure you do that. Purchase those at ZazuSalons.com, or you can stop by any one of their 7 locations. They have a brand new one in Geneva, which might be worth the trip. So this is our trivia question. On New Year's Day, 1995, the Bears came away with an unlikely wild card win on the road against what team? Who did they beat in the wild card in 1995, an unlikely road win on New Year's Day? Okay. Who wants to play? All of them? Jack? Line 2. We're going to Matt in Glen Ellen. Hi, Matt.
Hey, happy holidays to both of you.
Happy holidays to you. How are you today?
Doing well.
Great.
Yeah, so I heard the question, kind of a tough one. Jack said I could use Shay as a lifeline if I needed to, but I'm thinking it might have been against Dallas.
It was not against Dallas, but excellent guess. Does Shay know? Shay's very deep in thought right now, so I'm not sure if he knows.
I was 1 year old, and I'm trying to...
Oh, don't tell me that. Oh, my gosh.
I was 14. So
this was January...
That's a great guess, Matt.
January of 1995?
Yes.
I was 2 months old.
Oh, my. Well, you wouldn't remember. Thank you, Matt, though. Thank you. Okay.
I wouldn't remember, but that doesn't mean I don't know. I'm just trying to think of who it would have been.
Next, we'll go to line 4. We're going to go back to Rick in Schererville. Rick is back. Hi, Rick.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I think I know this one for sure. I missed on Chris Harris before, but I think I have it.
Okay. Do you want me to read the question again?
I don't think I need it. I've got one guess.
Okay. Go for it.
Is it the Vikings?
It was the Vikings. Good job, Rick. I'm like mild applause. It was against the Vikings. Thank you so much. Congratulations to you. You are the winner of our $200 Zazu Salon gift card. Thank you to Zazu Salons for sponsoring the fun and our trivia contest. That was awesome.
Apropos that answer.
Apropos. I know. Didn't you like that?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I was really proud of my trivia questions. Probably inappropriately so, but I was proud of them. I was like, oh.
Dion texted me yesterday and said, are they too easy? And then it took 8 callers for the first one to get. I didn't know the first one off the top of my head.
I thought the first one was a little on the brutal side in terms of difficulty.
It was pretty hard.
Because there wasn't even a hint.
No hint.
There wasn't like a hopeful Hall of Famer clue in there.
I must have been really tired because the question that I sent you, Jack, was incredibly wordy and it didn't need to be that way, but that's okay.
I thought it was good.
And we got it. It was good. I like it. That's fun. We should do more of that. I love seeing full phone lines. That's what I love. We do.
Just find stuff to give away.
I know, right? Anyone will call in for a Peggy and Dion magnet. I've been handing those out. That's a good stocking stuffer as well. Do you have some of those you're giving your family?
Magnets?
Would you like some? Car magnets? Yes. They're
great. Sure, I'll take some.
Yeah, do. Just, you know, Peg and Dion all over the place.
There you go. I'm going to be the biggest promoter of this station in Southeast Michigan.
I love it. We have a tree.
During my holidays.
There you go. We have a Christmas tree here in the office, and I love that all the ornaments are the show logos. That's
I know.
Adorable.
I took one off the tree at the FEW event. I had to take a Cap and Jay Hood ornament home. I asked if it was okay and was told yes. So I just grabbed
awesome.
The Cap and Jay Hood ornament, and I'm going to put it right on the front of my mother-in-law's Christmas tree.
I love that. Now, I was looking for the Peggy and Dion ornament, and I did not see it. But it was a quick glance, so maybe it's just not there yet.
I think there was one.
Was there one?
Yeah.
Did someone swipe it?
Probably there was more than one. I was walking out of there. I said, boy, a Chicago College tailgate ornament would have looked nice up here. Oh, well.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, we'll see. I doubt it.
Okay, well, is this it, Jack? We have one more break and then we come back, yeah? Okay, so we're going to take a break and then we'll wrap things up here on Peg and Dion, so stick around.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Peggy and Dion.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Maybe this is the year that I will actually roast chestnuts over an open fire and just see what happens.
I thought about buying some chestnuts once and doing it, and then I realized, I don't even have a fireplace. What am I talking about?
You know, they sell those like little tabletop ones now.
Oh, stop.
You could just have a little flame in your house. There's nothing dangerous.
I'll roast
about
it over
that.
A candle.
Yeah, there we go. Just see how long that takes. I would like to know if that's actually delicious.
Then I'll have Yankee Candle scented roasted chestnuts.
Don't mess around with Yankee Candles. It's Bath and Body Works all the way. Right, Jack? That's all.
I don't know. My wife.
I don't buy very many candles.
Wife buys the candles. Yeah.
I have a candle problem. I actually, the other day, was putting candles in this cupboard where I have them all, and I looked at my daughter, and I was like, somebody stop me from buying all these candles. Like, I have so many candles.
I just get Amazon boxes to the house, and I throw them on the counter, and then she gets home and opens them, and she goes, smell this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The next thing I know, it's lit for 4 hours.
Yeah, I love a lit candle. That's great. Okay, so we're going to do Raise a Glass before we wrap things up. If you would like to raise a glass to anyone, give us a call at 312-332-3776. Jack.
It is time to raise a glass.
Cheers. Cheers. Love you guys.
Cheers.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd raise your glasses.
So, however you say it.
Bottoms up.
Sláinte.
Skål.
Salud.
Gin gin.
L'chaim.
Cheers.
Make it profound.
To my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Let's raise a glass with Peggy and Dion.
To a night we'll never remember. But the four of us will never forget.
I love it every single time. Shay, welcome to the fun. I am going to start because I'm raising my glass to Larry Snyder, our sports executive producer at ABC 7, who retired officially yesterday after 41 years at the Mighty 7. He did pretty much everything. I mean, all 6 Bulls championships. 3 cups with the Blackhawks, World Series with the White Sox, the Cubs, the Sky winning the WNBA title, countless sportscasts and specials and reports, and he was just calm and professional and the greatest. So we wish him nothing but the best in retirement. Enjoy every second of it. We will miss him every day. But cheers to you, Larry Snyder.
Congrats to Larry.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
My parents both recently retired. They're thrilled.
I bet.
Yeah.
I'm also jealous.
Yeah, I'm sure. I am too. And I'm only 30.
I mean, I got a lot of time left.
I got a long way to go.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to raise a glass to Chicago baseball general managers.
Welcome.
Because, well, president and general manager. Both moves made in the news this week. I really like them both. I'll do the Sox first. Trading Crochet was 100% the correct thing to do. This is a guy like Jack McGrath. We were just talking about it in the break. Our producer, he had a ERA north of 4.5 the second half of the season, pitching 2 innings a game. They were really taking care of his arm. Hasn't had a high innings load, and you can get that kind of haul where you jumpstart your farm system with those prospects. Obviously, it might not all work out. They might be terrible. But I firmly believe this is how you accelerate a rebuild, not spending money on an arm when you have uncertainty of how healthy it can be and how good he'll be long term and you don't have anything around him.
Yeah.
This is the way to accelerate it. Good on Chris Getz. Jed Hoyer, you go trade for Kyle Tucker, one of the best hitters in the sport. I'm never going to say it's a bad thing. Do they have to pay him next fall? Yes. But I'm not worrying about December 2025 and December 2024. The Cubs in 2025 got a lot better.
A lot better. Be where your feet are planted. I love it. Also, if you'd like to hear more about the Garrett Crochet trade and what it means for the White Sox future, White Sox Weekly coming up after the show.
What a segue.
I mean,
my goodness, Dion.
Look at me. Almost like I've done
what
this
a
before.
What
a pro. It's like my one moment today. All right, Jack, go ahead.
Taj Gibson yesterday, he was back in the United Center, and the fans were chanting at the end of the game. It was a blowout. Bulls won, and the fans were chanting, "We want Taj," at the end of the game. This is the moment he checked back into the game.
Well, I mean, you get a standing ovation to bring him in.
Here he comes.
Yeah, he must have heard
Taj Gibson.
Bulls fans love Taj Gibson.
Hard hustle and muscle, right, Stacey?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's nice he gets a chance to get this ovation from the United Center crowd.
He's just a great guy, a pro.
8 years with the Bulls, he got a standing ovation from the fans. Very well deserved for Taj Gibson. He was always the hustle guy on those teams that were competing with Derrick Rose and Wal Dang and Joakim Noah and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite players, and happy for him that in his age 39 season, he's still able to get out there and play at the end of the games here.
That was a great raise the glass. That's awesome.
Can I pour a glass out for the Chicago Bulls because they can't even suck right?
I know.
Winning a game last night. When are they ever going to?
They might make the play-in.
Yeah, they
again,
might.
Which,
again.
By the way.
The faux playoff appearance.
That is part of why the NBA sucks now. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's discussing, why does nobody watch this? Maybe because teams that are 11-15 right now
will make the
play-in.
Yeah, that's insane.
Your regular season doesn't matter.
If you either make the playoffs or you don't. There is this no gray area of that. But, well, we were in the play-in. It doesn't matter. That is inconsequential.
And if they had brains, they would move on from anybody who's good on this team and tank for flag. But nope.
They're not doing that.
They can't suck right. They can't even suck right.
Don't rain on our raise the glass. That was a good moment at the United Center last night.
Good for Taj Gibson.
Good for Taj Gibson. One of the best. Yes, agreed, Jeff.
Hearing all those fans at the United Center cheering. Boy, oh boy.
Have you been to a game yet this season?
No, and I won't go.
Oh, I want to go. They're fine. You guys, if looks could kill right now.
They're what?
They're fun. The Bulls games are fun to go to.
Oh, the games might be fun to go to, but the Bulls are not fun.
No, the Bulls are not.
No, I'm not going. I'm not going to support that garbage.
That's okay.
Half the city can't watch because it's not on TV.
They're getting there. They're getting there.
Oh,
there might be some merger happening,
I've
and it might all come together in this final hour. That would be good. Blackhawks are playing right now, but we can't watch it.
I'm glad that 26 games into the season, you are figuring out how to let people watch the games.
It's scary because it's like out of sight, out of mind. I mean,
well, also,
and they're not great,
there's not a lot to talk about with the Bulls. They just kind of stink and are going to play their way back into mediocrity again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
Hey, at least the Blackhawks are,
No, but Connor Bedard looks like Connor Bedard again, so maybe good things are coming.
Hopefully continue. It turns out firing the coach Might not be the worst thing.
They got a fire the coach uptick, an interim coach.
Sure did.
Uptick. I was kind of surprised by that. That
hockey teams usually do. I mean, hockey teams fire their coaches like they change their underwear.
Quite that much, but you're right. They do.
I think
they do a lot of in-season
five teams
changes.
This season have already fired coaches. It was like,
is that right?
It was like 11 last year.
Is that right? Five coaches. Wow.
I know the Bruins fired their guy. St. Louis fired their guy and then hired the Bruins guy.
Oh, right.
The Blackhawks fired their guy. I think the Red Wings at some point are going to have to fire their guy.
Wow.
There's hockey teams, they fire coaches like crazy. They do it like it's going out of style.
Well, let's see what that means for the Blackhawks the rest of the season. There's a lot of hockey left. Like, they're only like 28 games in or something. I'm really bad at math, but I think so. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I hate when you look at me like that and in charge because I don't know. I'm not always comfortable in the driver's seat. I think you guys know that.
I think you do a great job.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Yeah, of course.
We do miss Peggy today, though, and we do want to update you. I said it at the top of the show. I'll say it again, that everything did go well with her daughter's surgery. She is caring for Stella. We are raising our glass to Stella and Peggy for healing thoughts. We'll keep our thoughts and prayers with them as they go through this long journey over the holidays.
Very happy for Peggy. Will she be on her post-game duties Monday night?
She was not sure. She wanted to be.
Okay.
That was the other question I had, is what is our game day look like on Monday? Do we have, is it Waddle and Sylvie, and then it goes into the pregame show?
Yeah, I believe the way it's set up, it's a typical day on ESPN Chicago. So you'll have Cap'n Hood in the morning, Greeny, Carmen Yerk, into Waddle and Sylvie. And then Waddle and Sylvie at some point will become the pregame show.
Okay.
So that's usually the weekday primetime game setup.
There we go. And then, of course, the postgame show. And then is there a post?
That I don't have an answer to. I'd have to pull the schedule up and make sure.
It's like into Tuesday.
There's no post.
I didn't think so. I thought that had been kind of the modus operandi this season.
Yeah, so we got Jesse and Yurko from noon to 3, and then 3 to 5 will be the pregame show with Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, that's right. Carmen's going to vacation in St. Lucia.
Oh, that's right. 3 to 5, Waddle and Sylvie, and then 5 to
5
7.
5 to 7, more show. Waddle and Sylvie.
Right, yep. That's the thing. And me. I'll be in Minnesota popping in. But I realize that the Bears will play 3 games in 11 days, right?
Yeah, but that's any team that has 2 Sundays and a Thursday.
Right, right.
Did you see, by
Monday,
the way?
Monday, Sunday, Thursday, so it's a little shorter.
The Chiefs were, like, whining about this. They're like, we think it's unfair to play 3 games in 11 days.
Everybody does this. Everybody does this. Stop. You're 12-1. Stop talking.
I'm so tired of them in a way that I can't even explain.
I think the Browns do it.
God willing, I hate this version of Kansas City.
It's not fun.
Do you know what they are? They're cockroaches. They
what an
just
aggressive description.
Won't die.
I know they won't. They won't.
And they're not that good.
They're not.
Fun fact. How many teams have not scored 30 points this season? I believe it's 5.
And they're one of them?
4 of those teams have 3 or fewer wins. The 5th is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow, they haven't scored 30 points once? I don't have time to look that up right now. That's insane.
They're not good.
No, they're not.
But they're winning because they get every lucky break in the world, like bombing a field goal off the left upright that somehow still goes in. I can't stand them. I'm sorry I'm getting fired up at the end of the show.
You are. We have to wrap this up.
Nothing fires me up like this Kansas City Chiefs team. They are so fake.
Okay, well, take a breath. Shafe, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here today. Jack, thanks so much. We missed Peggy today. Next week will be our holiday special here on Peggy and Dion, so make sure you stick around for that. Keep it right here. White Sox Weekly coming up on ESPN 1000.